WEOL weather.
It's a good day for hot soup with high temperatures only in the lower 30s and around an inch of afternoon snow expected. Light evening snow will give way to lows in the lower 20s overnight and then morning clouds giving way to partial clearing tomorrow, highs in the lower 30s. I'm meteorologist John Laufman for AM 930 WEOL.
Shades of blue and gray, 22 degrees.
Craig, doesn't hot soup seem like a group from like 1968?
Well, we did have
sounds a bit Woodstock.
We did have hot tuna, so you can get some hot tuna with your hot soup.
Oh, now you're really good. Do you prefer any melted cheese with that?
Well, actually, no. I'd go with hot burrito number two.
Oh yes, from the Flying Burrito Brothers as well. You do remember, though, that their burrito had rhinestones all over it on the cover.
Of course.
Well. Not edible, I suppose.
The sun came out today. We're born again. There's new grass on the field.
Thank you, John Fogarty, for a little reminder of why we're here this morning. It is Wahoo Week on WEOL. And, Craig, I need a highlight to introduce our Tom Hamilton is joining.
Salazar's ready on the pitch. Mm-hmm. Swung on in a chopper to second. Kipnis to second one. Lindor guns it and got him! Oh, what a double play on a speed merchant, Billy Burns! Lindor unleashed a rocket to complete the double play, but Oakland may challenge the call. No, they will not. That is something special to double up that kid, Billy Burns. And Lindor got rid of it so quickly and just threw the beautifulest BB you've ever seen. Boy, that kid's got a chance to be some kind of special shortstop.
Absolutely. Tim, don't you think so? I think so.
I think so. I think Tom Hamilton thinks so by the sound of that call. Now, Craig and Bruce, Tom has a question for you, though, as far as that little monologue you just had before you came out here.
Sure.
What in the world's going on back in Elyria?
Hot tuna, hot soup. What was that all about?
It's 20 to 6 out here.
We're hungry.
Nobody out here is ready for hot tuna 5:40 in the morning.
You should have seen the facial expression from Mr. Hamilton as you guys were going on about hot tuna.
Well, if you remember, they were a spinoff of Jefferson Airplane.
Were they really?
Yeah.
You got me, guys. I consider myself somewhat knowledgeable about the history of music, but I never heard of hot tuna. Well, folks, you heard the voice of the tribe, Tom Hamilton, now joins us here in Goodyear, Arizona. And Rosie and Curtis said earlier, this is the moment we've all been waiting for. Now, why is there such high anticipation about you and I sitting down and just having a friendly conversation?
Well, they're bunking together, so I think that's all you need to know about how their week is going.
I mean, you and I just get along, you know? We haven't put the gloves on, the headgear. I think we're good.
Yeah, it's been nice to see you wearing black all week long and memory of Elyria going down in flames.
Hey, North Ridgeville knocked off the Pioneers last Saturday night. Last night, knocked off Olmsted Falls. Now, you saw North Ridgeville a couple of times during the year. Boy, Brian Morgan doing a heck of a job with that ball club.
Well, there are so many good coaches. When you think of, you know, what he has done there with the – I don't know all the coaches' names anymore. It's funny when your boys are done playing, you don't. But, you know, Elyria and Lorraine have tremendous coaches, both programs. Look what Avon has done. Look at Coach DeFranco did all those years at Midview. And it was nice to see him have his kind of send-off. There's some really good coaches that I don't think we talk enough about sometimes. It's almost like everyone talks about the great football coaches that we have in Ohio. There's some really good basketball coaches. And I'm so impressed with what Coach Rossitano, I believe that's how you pronounce it.
Rossitano
has done at Lorraine. With that program and you know what Elyria has done down through the years with that program and I agree. I saw North Ridgeville. Southwest Conference was so different this year with the additions that to me it's a lot like the Big Ten Conference this year. If you held a conference tournament, you'll get a different winner than you had during the regular season because there was so much, I thought, parity among the the top half of the division.
Yeah, some tremendous balance this year. Well, hey, let's talk a little Tribe baseball. Once again, we embark on a new season. I was talking to Craig and Bruce earlier about hope springs eternal. Yep. Everybody's 0-0. You start fresh, but this team has some optimism.
You know what, Tim? When you have the starting rotation that the Indians have, and it's the best in the American League, you literally have a chance to win every night because of that pitching. And it's not five deep. You know, it's eight deep when you think of, you know, Cody Anderson, Josh Tomlin, TJ House, Mike Clevenger. And that's what it's going to take, because very seldom do you ever see a ball club go through a season with five starting pitchers. It's happened, but it doesn't happen very often. So if you don't have depth, you know, how many times do we see ball clubs saying, man, our first three are really good, but we don't know what's going to happen with pitchers four and five. And then that in turn destroys the bullpen because they're not getting any length from those guys. The Indians don't have that problem. And in visiting with one of the vice presidents of the Kansas City Royals after they won the World Series, I said, what did you guys think of the Mets staff? Because we had heard so much about that young Mets rotation. He goes, you know, it's funny. Before whatever it was, game three or game four, down at the batting cage, he was visiting with, you know, his guys, Moustakas, Gordon, and Hosmer. And they were kind of chuckling, saying, boy, you know, because it's the New York Mets, everybody wants to talk about this rotation. The Indians' rotation is better. That's why we're prepared for the World Series. What they saw against the Indians 19 times, they felt was better than what the Mets had. And on top of that, you can take that really through the division. I mean, you go to Chicago and you're going to see, you know, Chris Sale and Carlos Rodon and Quintana, and then you go to Detroit and it's Verlander and now Jordan Zimmermann this year and Aníbal Sánchez, and it, you know, just goes on and on and on. That's why the AL Central, I think, top to bottom, Tim, is the most competitive this year in the American League.
So what's important for the Indians this year to stay within
runs,
striking?
Runs. They have got to score more runs than a year ago. They now catch the ball. And again, if you look at the World Series, as good as the Mets starting pitching is and was last year, they lost the World Series. Excuse me, Tim. They lost the World Series because they didn't catch the ball. Cespedes and Murphy had critical errors that cost the Mets games against Kansas City. So as good as your pitching is, if you don't catch the ball, it becomes a moot point. Now the Indians have a top-notch defense, but they have to score more runs than they did a year ago.
Are they a better offensive team, and why?
I think so. You know, I think in a lot of ways it reminds me of what they did in 2013 leading up to that season. The subtle additions that they made in the offseason that year, you know, when you think of what Ryan Rayburn, Jason Giambi, and Mike Avilas did for that club. Remember how the ball club never seemed to have any trouble against left-handed pitching that year? That's what I think they did this year in some ways when you add Rajay Davis and Mike Napoli and Juan Uribe. When talking to Michael Brantley, he's going to be back sooner rather than later. So I just don't think you have to depend on any one or two individuals, but you have to have, you know, a 1-9 approach. You can't have three automatic outs in your lineup. And at times we had that last year.
Again, we're talking with Tom Hamilton, voice of the Tribe, as he joins us as part of our Wahoo Week coverage here in Goodyear, Arizona. Tom, one of the exciting things about spring training is having the opportunity to watch some of the younger guys, some of the future stars in the Indians organization. Who's a guy or two that you're keeping an eye on and perhaps may surprise and break camp with this team?
You know, Rosie and I were talking before we went on the game the other day, and Rosie's a big, big gambler. And, you know, we were not.
No wonder he never buys breakfast.
I didn't say he wins, you know.
That's what I'm saying. He never has any money to buy.
He always picks that horse that you go, where's that horse? Oh, it's still in the gate.
Alpo.
We were just discussing center field, you know, and you know, I really think Tyler Naquin's going to win that job.
Do you really?
Yeah, and, you know, but I've also been wrong 99 out of 100 times, but he looks great. I like what he did. He came here, and this first time we've seen Tyler Naquin, you know, kind of do what Cody Anderson did, and basically, you might as well say, spend the offseason in Goodyear. And, you know, he's really gotten bigger and stronger. He's a young guy starting to fill into that body. He's got the best arm probably the Indians have had since Corey Snyder in the outfield. And you need somebody to play center field now that, you know, Abraham Almonte is gone for half the year, and who knows if he'll do a thing after he comes back. So this is Tyler Naquin's chance. You know, he's in his mid-20s. Bradley Zimmer and Clint Frazier, you know, are coming hard. Naquin's got an opportunity here. I'd like to see him run away with it and play center field.
That's interesting. Hey, before we go, what do you enjoy most about Goodyear?
Whew. I was in Winter Haven last weekend to see Kent State play, and after being there, there isn't anything I don't like about Goodyear. I forgot how bad Winter Haven was. Oh, my Lord. And we're really lucky out here, the complex the way it is and the travel and whatnot. You have roads that are paved. You know, you don't have horses at every stop sign, you know, trying to
except
cross.
For the ones that Rosie bet on.
Well, I saw those in Winter Haven, too. Nah, you know, it, again, I think you had to go back there to fully appreciate. And I'm really being serious. You cannot believe. It's kind of sad to see how run down that has gotten and whatnot. And now the early bird special in Winter Haven now starts at 2:30. So from 2:30 until 7 o'clock at night, you can't eat anywhere. So Goodyear is so much better. Arizona is really, we're really lucky out here with these complexes, Tim. And I think the fans, while they liked Winter Haven and the proximity, the ability to maybe get to the players easier, once they come out here, they get spoiled too.
Hey.
And it's really a great complex.
But how many World Series appearances has the Goodyear complex produced for us?
Well, you know, that's true. But I'll tell you what, if you had Bell, Ramirez, Tomey, Lofton, Vizquel, you could have spring training on Mars, and it wouldn't matter. You know, Winter Haven was good from that standpoint, but Winter Haven had nothing to do with those teams winning. The club won in spite of it.
Boy, no doubt. I know you have some other stops to make. I've got to get back to hot tuna and hot soup.
Good luck with that.
Thanks, Sammy. Always
Thanks,
a pleasure.
Jimmy.
Tom Hamilton joining us here in Goodyear as part of our Wahoo Week coverage on AM 930 WEOL.